Hi there.
Hi.
Good.
Okay, so why don't we start with announcements? I can tell you that the AAAS meeting starts, I think, on the 11th of February. We have a symposium on climate literacy collective impact on the 13th. So Frank Niepold and I will be there along with Carrie McDougall and Lynn Chambers and Nicole Ardwin from ChangeScale in San Francisco. So we'll have a three talks and a panel discussion.
So this is a panel, Tamara, at AAAS.
Well, it's called a symposium. We have
Okay.
90 minutes. And
Oh,
what we
wow.
have opted to do, and so we can then organize it anyway. We described in our proposal for the session how we would organize it, is that each person, I'm going to give the overview of what collective impact is and the input we've gotten from the Clean Network and beyond around climate literacy collective impact over the past few years. Carrie McDougall is going to talk about the tri-agency effort and how they've tried to address the larger coordination. And then Nicole Ardwin is going to, from ChangeScale in San Francisco, is going to talk about a concrete example of a collective impact effort, a successful collective impact effort. And we had a telecon, which she described that they started their effort from the model and then been doing research around how people have implemented the model. So the idea behind the symposium itself was how can we move this forward? What are examples? What are the best practices that we at least can elicit now from the from efforts that have been going on? And so each of us are going to talk for about 20 minutes, and then that leaves us 30 minutes to have a panel discussion with all the participants there to get further feedback and input. So that's planned for AAAS.
That's great.
Are there other announcements? Well, another thing that I can let people know, we have been moving forward. Some of you may know that I've been talking to Aaron Robinson from the Foundation for Earth Science. That was the group with the ESA Federation that hosted our webinars, the COP21 webinars in December. And we are going to partner further, and they are going to be able to support our weekly teleconferences ongoing.
Oh, that's great.
We will be this probably they are actually transitioning from the WebEx that they use to GoToMeeting, and that will probably happen in March. And since I'm going away for a month, it would be best if we started when I got back.
Boy.
So we'll
Not
probably
that.
start then with the GoToMeeting, but then people will either be able to call in on the phone if they don't have access to a computer, but they'll be able to also use a link, a URL to get into the web conference, and we'll have a direct way of recording them and then posting them. So it'll be really nice to have that support.
Not to get into it too much right here, but will we basically do what we have been doing? In other words, putting things up on the web page in terms of a listing, title and abstract and bios, and then the downloaded slides or uploaded slides. And then we would just and then we'd have a phone number. It probably won't be the same one, but a different phone number. And then we would run WebEx or a GoToMeeting on top of that. Is that kind of the idea? And that people,
Right.
but
So, yeah, the one extra piece is that we'll continue to post the slides so people want to see them in advance. So the slides will be there, but then we will also, I think that the recording, the visual recording, so the recording of the audio and visual will be tied together.
Yes.
And I think will be automatically put onto YouTube so that we just provide the link to that YouTube recording.
Okay.
So you could listen to it integrated, or you would have the slides separately. So we have an extra little piece there for people that may want to look at the slides individually.
That's great. This is, and I'm hoping that we have an improvement in the sound that we can get too.
Yeah. Well, that was another thing, is people had commented that the sound on those WebExes is a whole lot better, and we're getting static right now. So.
Yes, we are.
But we're also hoping to use the venue of the Easter Federation has two meetings a year, one in July and one in January. And we're hoping to be able to use the venue of the Easter Federation meetings to have some breakout sessions around collective impact also that can be supported ongoing. So we're looking into that also.
Excellent. Really good.
Are there other announcements? Okay, well, we had originally planned to have a discussion about solutions resources for the Clean Collection today. Unfortunately, one of the main people that was going to participate in that conversation had to go to a funeral today. So we had to postpone it.
It does sound like the 23rd is going to work then for everyone. That's all that I
Yeah, I think so.
Okay, well,
except for me.
Yes.
You know I'll be gone. I'm leaving on the 20th, so I won't be there.
Right.
But Marion will be back before then, and she and I will talk it through, so she'll be ready to move forward. Basically,
I'm just curious whether Marion will lead that. Jen, this is.
I will talk to her about potentially leading it.
Will?
I think it's a combination. I'll talk to Frank also. He and Rebecca had some ideas about the kind of resources that we're still missing in the Clean Collection, and we do need more resources around solutions. And so I think, and Marion has the background in terms of knowing the collection really well and living with the review criteria every day to help guide people. So so one of the things that happens quite often is that we'll get suggestions of resources that are much larger in scope than the clean process can handle. So for those of you not aware of the scope of the Clean Collection, we review activities, visualizations, and videos, and we have very specific definitions of each of those. The one that's the most easiest to describe and see how it could be different from something else is that an activity. An activity that's reviewed into the collection has to be completely self-contained. It can't be a sequence of activities that build on one another so that you have to depend on a previous activity. And the reason for that is not that the sequence of activities is not a good idea. In a lot of pedagogical situations, it's a very good idea. It's just that the scope of the review, we had to confine it to something we could afford. And we do have a review criteria that would address those kinds of resources that have multiple parts. We call them units and modules. However, we piloted trying to review resources along those lines. And while we can review something as overall, we realized that in order to make sure that the entire resource is of the quality we want, we still had to review the individual resources within those units and modules. And it's not always true that even if every single component of a resource that has multiple parts is excellent, there's still the other piece to be able to become part of the Clean Collection as an individual resource is it addresses the climate literacy essential principles or the energy literacy principles. And sometimes when a resource has multiple parts, not all of the individual parts do. They're sort of more connecting. And so this was to be able to review units and modules just is much more costly. And so while we have the capability, we don't have the money. So when if somebody sends it, and the other kinds of things we really don't review are things like entire websites or just text literature kinds of things, because those go through other kinds of review processes and could be unending. So Scott, you had a comment?
I was just going to mention, since I was involved in the early review process, we did several of those sets of resources, and I think we spent quite a bit of time on them, and I think in the end we found we didn't have any components, or we didn't have any sets or collections that we could actually review. So we spent an enormous amount of time, and there always seemed to be one or two weak links. Just as you said, we had to review the individual components, and then the thing as a whole was as successful as a sequence, and that was just a lot of work. And
it is a lot of work. And people consider the review process as it is expensive, so
this is the way we've been
doing. So videos, we don't review entire movies, meaning we don't review an hour movie.
Yeah,
generally, the movies have to be less than 10 minutes.
Yeah.
And usually they're less than 5.
Yeah. Very true. So the idea is...
Are there any questions?
That's the term I've been using since people kind of know what that means in education circles. It's just that it's an opportunity for people to suggest different kinds of research, especially those around solutions. And there'll be more. I guess, Tamara, we will probably send out a solicitation to certainly the Clean Network, but maybe even beyond that, just telling people that thing that we're looking at.
Yeah. Once Marion gets back and I can talk this through with her and with Frank,
yeah,
we will. I think it's a good idea to send it out to beyond just the Clean Network, just so that we can cast a wide net.
Tamara?
Yes.
Yes?
And so let me just clarify with where we're at, and then I have a broader question. This is Jane. I'm so glad to be here. So the way that...
Well, I couldn't hear you. Say that again.
Oh, really choppy.
Can you hear Jane? I can't hear Jane.
No, I can't either. Sounds like
Jane?
The,
are you there? It says somebody disconnected. It might have been Jane.
Okay. She may be trying to get. She'll be back, I'm sure.
Okay. Did anybody else have any questions about the Clean collection that we can clarify?
Hi, it's Jen. I actually had a couple questions about it.
Okay.
For COP21, we worked with Frank on developing that youth climate engagement piece of the climate.gov website, and we created a number of short videos highlighting the youth climate summits that we've been working on. I think all of them are 3 minutes or less, and I'm wondering if those would qualify as a or would be eligible, I guess, for review by the network as a potential resource.
Process.
Yeah.
So I don't know what the content is of them, if they're 3-minute videos, and certainly it's of the scope that will fit in the collection. It really depends on what the content is and how it addresses the climate literacy essential principles.
So
you can sort of think of it in terms of how somebody would use it in a teaching context to teach some particular content.
Or to inspire students, because we're certainly looking for resources that are helpful that way, too. So anything that encourages...
One of the things you can look at is on the if you go to the homepage for Clean, in the bottom right corner is a link to the review process. And there, a little bit down on the page, is the description of the review criteria for each of those resources. They're different, as you might imagine, for each of them, for activities, for videos, and visualizations. And so if you take a look at that, you can see whether or not you think your resource is aligned with those review criteria. And if you think they are, then you can submit it to us. There is a place to suggest resources, or you can email us, and I'll forward it on to Marion and Anna, and they would take a look and see whether they thought that it should go through the review process.
Mm-hmm. Okay. I'm not sure if they fit. I mean, they're really showcasing, like, the youth summits and kind of how student voice was a part of that process, but they're not so much a teaching,
yeah,
specific content. So that's helpful,
right,
actually. Thank you.
Jane, did you make it back?
Yeah. Tamara, can you hear me now?
Loud,
yes,
clear.
I can hear you now. So why don't you go ahead and ask your question?
So my question was, if I'm advising teachers who may want to use the CLEAN network, they should already have some kind of cohesive idea in mind for what they're trying to do with their classroom, but they can find specific activities, videos, and support on the CLEAN network.
Right. In the CLEAN, so if you go to the CLEAN page and go to the collection, that's where they'll find there's like 670 resources now that have been reviewed. And they can narrow it down by various facets that are listed on the right side, grade level, topics, and things like that. And then they can do search, and there's a search box where you can enter text. So, yes, they can find and use those resources, and we'd be thrilled that they do that.
Okay. So, Tamara, can you send me some of the CLEAN bookmarks, and I will distribute some to some teachers?
Okay. So send me an email, your address, and tell me how many you want.
Perfect. And the last thing is, once we get into the review this year, I may have some time to help with that if Anna needs some help, okay?
Okay, great. And if anybody else is interested in being on a review panel, let us know.
There was a question that came up some time back about the publication, Environmental Literacy in the United States, and the possibility that CLEAN might write a climate change appendix or something.
Yeah.
Has anything happened with
that's
that?
That's right. No, and it's mostly because most of us, I mean, we did get people indicate that they were interested. I don't think people at the moment had the time to move it forward, and I've been in the midst of writing proposals, so I've not had the time to move it forward. We could possibly talk about moving that forward again after my proposals are submitted, unless somebody else wants to take up the banner and move it forward. I'm happy to participate, but I simply don't have the bandwidth at the moment.
Right. What I can share is I've at least started reading it.
Okay.
I've read about half of it now, and the good news is climate change is mentioned fairly often in there, and there's places we might make a case study that deepens that. But it's not like climate change has been completely ignored either. So I think we can feel good about that.
I don't think it was ever felt that it was ignored. And I think when we had the conversation about that report, it felt like from everybody's point of view that environmental literacy and climate literacy had a tremendous amount of overlap, but that there were clear differences, and then it would be worthwhile describing, strengthening the environmental literacy report by creating an addendum that explicitly addresses climate change.
Okay. Were there questions yet about whether that should emphasize the similarities or the differences or both?
I think that probably both, but that I think would come out of the discussion of the group that gets together to try to to develop this, which certainly should include
right.
the two people. I forget their names right now. The two people that gave the discussion, led the discussion about the environmental literacy document.
Okay. I'll read the rest of it with that idea in mind and see if anything comes out of that.
Okay.
Thank you.
Great. So if anybody else is interested in helping to work that through, again, I did start collecting names, which has, nothing's gone very much farther than that.
And I could just mention that that discussion happened on September the 29th last year and October the 6th. So there's some notes, and I see, you know, Vicki Arthur was one of the people who was very strong on this and actually put a bit of a short summary together about some of the environmental elements in that report. And I think the two people... I can't remember if they were both on the line or not, but Patrick Deavy is the one I do remember, and then I think Sarah Espinosa was the other person from the foundation that
right.
was,
mm-hmm.
joined it. So there's a little bit of information back on our telecon schedule page about that.
That's
report.
Very helpful. So I could look at those notes.
Yeah. And actually,
terrific.
Both
Thank
of those
you.
Reported.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So they should be there.
You can look at the notes and you can listen to the conversation, too.
Yeah.
Perfect.
Yeah, so there's a little bit of work, but we really haven't followed up since the beginning of last October. So in the to-do list.
you know, there's been a few things on the
yes.
front burners, I think.
Yes.
Okay, that's great. I appreciate it.
Thanks, Jay, for reminding us of that. I could just mention, since we're doing a little bit of analysis, that we have at least two upcoming talks. Next week, David Herring is going to talk about the climate resilience toolkit. And David, he's been wanting to talk with us for quite a few months, and we've actually had to cancel several times because of his busy schedule. Hopefully next week he will be able to talk to us about that. And then on the 16th, Emily Claude is going to talk about the sort of development process for the fourth National Climate Assessment, which is an ongoing process, and that's really what she wants to talk about. And there's some special reports coming out and various things. So those are the next 2 weeks. And then I think on the 23rd, the Sharathon that we were just talking about, that's when we think that's going to happen. There's a couple of other
yeah.
things in the works for March.
Okay, great.
Yeah, we're filling in our time. And
are there any
yet.
Other comments, questions, or thoughts?
I think we're good.
Okay. Well, if not, then thanks everybody for calling in, and we will talk again next week.
Yes, please.
Thank you, guys.
Thank you, Ken.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Great.
Bye.
Bye now.
Bye, everyone.
Bye.